Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Go with me to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Okay, Hebrews, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. Now let me read verse 1 from the Amplified. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still remains and is freely offered today, let us fear in case any one of you may seem to come short of reaching it or think he has come too late. I want to talk about entering into the rest of God. Entering into the rest of God. There is a rest that only God can give you. No man, no woman, no material thing can give you that rest. I don't know about you, but before I knew the Lord, I thought that things could give me what I need. And the more I got things, it seemed like at that moment I was happy. But once I got used to those things, it looked like I was not happy anymore. But when you enter into a rest with God, that rest gives you everything that you need because it's in him, it's not in you. And until we realize that, we are still trying to do stuff on our own. And how many know today it just ain't working? Because we end up back into the same place. And God wants his people to enter into that rest. And you can. It's not too late. And some people think, you know, it's too late for me. I have done this and I have done that. It don't matter what you done, how you done it, when you done it, or who you done it with. I'm here to tell you the rest of God gives peace. It gives you forgiveness. It gives you a satisfaction that McDonald's can't give you. Because I'm here to tell you, once you eat that burger and they say it's good, after you release that burger, it's gone. But this rest that God gives you is an eternal rest. It's a rest that's never ending, that lasts forever and ever and ever. I'm even trying to tell you that even drugs can't give you what God can give you. Because, see, you still got to find that high. But with God, you can always be on a high. The only thing you got to do is begin to lift your hands, begin to give him glory, begin to give him honor, and everything around you begin to change. So God is saying there's a rest in me that I want my people to have. When we look at chapter 3 of Hebrews, it's talking about the Israelites and how God wanted them to enter into the promised land. He gave them a promise. He told them that he was giving them a land that was filled with milk and filled with honey. That land was going to have everything that they needed, but they had to enter into that land. See, the problem is God has done everything he's going to do, but we're not doing our part. See, there's a part that you have to do. You can't just sit there and wait on the Lord. We know the word of God says, wait on the Lord and he shall renew your strength. But while you're waiting on the Lord, you got to build your trust up in him, and you got to be obedient until what the word of God is telling you to do. That's the part that you have to do. Obedience is your part. We talked about the new year, about obedience activates what God has already done. God has given us everything that he's ever going to give us. He's not going to give you any more. But when you take the word of God and you obedient to the word that God has given you, that's what brings the manifestation. So the enemy does not want you to be obedient. We look at these Israelites when God gave them that promise, and they can't come out of bondage. Y'all know they were in so much bondage to Pharaoh. But when God sent a deliverer, he sent Moses, just like he sent Jesus for us, because God heard the cries of his people. And I'm telling you today, some of y'all are crying out unto God. You're crying out unto him, and you're saying, God, help me. But the problem is you're not entering into this rest. You're not entering into what God has already done. See, these Israelites, they heard. They heard that God was bringing them out of bondage, that God was taking them into a land of more than enough. They heard this. And when they heard it, I don't know about you, when you hear the good news concerning what Jesus has already done, the enemy come in and try to smack you every which way he can, trying to discourage you not to go into that promise, not to go into that promise that God has given you. So these Israelites, they cried out to God because of the reason of their bondage. God heard them. And I'm telling you today, God hear your cry. And that cry is saying, God, I want you to indwell me. I want you to come into my life. But God, I don't know how to do it. And this is why the gospel has to be preached to this dying world. So as they cried out, God had to prepare that deliverer. And as he prepared Moses, Moses came to the people. Y'all know the story in the book of Exodus. And as Moses came, y'all know Pharaoh denied him. But Moses went right back to God. And he went to God. God sent Moses right back to Pharaoh. And y'all know eventually those people come out of bondage. And when they come out of bondage to go into that promised land, how many know today that when God gives you a promise, I'm going to say this again, all hell breaks loose. Everything around you seems like what has never happened has begun to happen. That's when you should know all the promises of God is yes, and in him is amen. It doesn't matter what it looks like around you. It doesn't matter if the storm is raging. You got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. You got to remember what God has said. So when they come out of Egypt, now remember this, they come out of Egypt. But Egypt didn't come out of them. See, some of y'all have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have told him, I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to indwell me. I want you to be who you need to be in my life. But yet and still, you're still doing what you used to do. See, these Israelites, they were in Egypt so long, they learned Egypt ways. And sometimes we learn the way of the world, and this is why we can't be conformed to this world. Conform means we can't pattern ourselves after what the world does, but we got to be transformed by renewing of our mind. So they had a leader, which was Moses. So Moses had to encourage them. He had to give them the word from God. Why? So they could take that journey, so they wouldn't miss anything that God had for them. But on this journey, they needed water. Come on, we love the Lord until there's a need. We love him so much, but when we have a need in our lives, we forget that he's God. We forget that he's the one that brought us out when we didn't deserve to come out. Come on. We forget that he laid down his life for somebody that wasn't worthy like me. We forget that he laid down his life for murderers. He laid down his lives for thieves. He laid down everything for us, and we have a tendency to forget when there's a need in our lives. So this is what the Israelites done. They should have said, if you brought me out of Egypt, I know there ain't no problem for you to give me water. See, what God wanted, God said, in order for you to enter this promised land, you got to trust me more than you trust in yourself in Egypt. See, the thing is, and I talk about it all the time, we don't want to give up on us, on me, myself, and I. We're so used to trying to make it work. We're so used to trying to fit in with what the world is doing. We don't want to give that up because we feel like we will be alone. But you got to understand that he will never, ever leave you, nor shall he forsake you. He will be with you even until the end, no matter what your situation is. He said, if you call on me, I'm going to answer you. I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. He said, when you call on me, you got to know that I'm your shepherd, and you shall not want, and you shall not lack. You got to know that he's going to lead you beside still waters. He's going to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though you walk through a valley of a shadow of death, I'm telling you, his rod, his staff, it's going to comfort you. See, these are the things that we forget. You didn't bring yourself out. God brought you out. The only thing that brought you out was trusting in what he's done. The problem is we don't have no trust in him. We have so much trust in man. But the Bible says, put no confidence in man. Man will fail you. That's a proving. Man will tell you something, but they don't fulfill what they said. Why? Because when something come up, they're going to put what come up before you. But God never put anything before you, not even his son. He gave his very best. So these Israelites needed water. And this was a time of trusting for these Israelites. There was no water around. So Moses had to go to God. See, this is what we have to do. When things begin to shift in our lives, we have somewhere to go, y'all. Not to the phone, not to the bank, but to the throne. See, God wants us to shift over to him. See, that's how you know you have a relationship with God. When everything in your life seems like it's not working, that's when you go to God. And this is why Moses had to go to a high mountaintop. See, the more that you go to God, the higher you get in God. The more that you can hear God. The more that you can close everything off that's going on around you. The more that you can trust him and say, God, you're my answer. Because I know that everything I need is in you. So Moses went to God. And God told him, he said, I want you to strike that rock. Because there's water in the rock. Come on, y'all. Who would take and strike a rock looking for water? See, when you know the symbolic meaning, Jesus is that rock. And everything you need is going to come from that rock. He is that sure foundation. He's that rock that will never fail you. He's that rock that has always provided for you. But Moses had to be obedient. And I want to ask you something. How can you be obedient in the midst of a rebellion nation? That's tough, isn't it? You got to hear God more than you hear complaints and murmuring. See, people are going to always complain. Come on, we're sitting here right now in church and you're murmuring on the inside. Do it take all that? Can't we just go ahead and get over with it? Do we have to sing all the many songs? Do we have to do all that? What in the world is going on in here? Murmuring, complaining, right in the house of God. Because that's what we used to. But when Moses heard from God, Moses did what God told him to do, and the people got water from the rock. But before they got water from the rock, y'all know what they did. They complained, they murmured, and they talked about, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt to die? Them were some crazy people. They had hard labor in Egypt. They were going through, but they began to think about what they had to eat. But they didn't think about you were in bondage, and God didn't want you to be a slave no more. God wants you to be free. But see, they were looking at more of what they had than what God had already given them. Come on, you with the Most High God. You with the Creator. You with the God that made everything. And you complaining and you murmuring because the only thing you got to do is ask. He said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. And if you knock, the door is going to be open. You got to know who you belong to. And when you know who you belong to, you need to say, there's nothing too hard for my God. Because if God said it, God has already done it, so we're just going to go ahead and walk into it. So y'all know they came up against a lot of things. But the Bible said they did not believe God, so they couldn't enter into the rest of God. So when you get to chapter 4, it's telling us that we, the people of God, we have to believe to enter into that rest, meaning that we got to take God at his word, that if this is what God has said, we got to stand on his word, and that helps you to enter into the rest of God. Rest means that you are ceasing from everything that you're doing. You know, when you go to bed at night, you stop doing everything that you once done, right? Because some people say, well, I'm going to lay down and rest. But how many people know you say you're going to lay down and rest, but you ain't actually resting? Because you didn't get a good night's sleep. Can I tell you why? Because you got so much on your mind. You worried about this and you worried about that, so that's not a rest, because in your mind and in your sleep, you're still trying to figure out, how am I going to make it? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay this bill? What am I going to do with the little that I have? That's not a rest. See, the rest that God gives you is a rest that says, I'm the vine. You're the branch. And as long as you're connected to the vine, there's nothing that's going on in your life that ain't already done. So that's the rest that God wants us to enter into. When we lay down, we cease from worrying about what we were worried about. Because when you go to bed heavy, I'm here to tell you, you wake up heavy. You wake up tired. You wake up like you hadn't even laid down. But the Bible said, he said, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because you trust in me. Y'all, it's a trusting thing. And see, we enter into that rest through being born again. There's a rest that only can come from God, not man. And I notice even with the world, as long as somebody is treating you right, you feel like you're at rest. As long as nobody don't get up in your face, you all right. As long as things is going okay in your life, you feel like you're at rest. But that's not a rest. The rest that God gives you, like I said, is an everlasting rest. It's a rest that comes through them fruit of the Spirit that gives the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the meekness, the faithfulness. It gives you all of those things, and you can rest in those things, and you don't have to worry about what pops up in your life. Getting back to the part where God said he rested on the seventh day, I want to talk about something that I think that all of us have been taught, the Sabbath. Everybody fuss about the Sabbath day, and I pray that I can clear that up on the day because, you know, some people say the Sabbath day is Saturday, the Sabbath day is Sunday. Actually, the Sabbath day was from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Amen. That was the Sabbath. Amen. That's the actual Sabbath. Right. Sunday is the first day of the week. Now, I'm finna clear something up in this place because people are confused by what he meant by the Sabbath. Now, in Hebrews 4, it said on the seventh day, God rested. I'm going to give y'all a nugget. God ain't never tired. So it don't mean that kind of rest. God ain't never tired. How do I know? Because some of you are calling on him right now. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. God don't never take a break because he's God. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He's present. He's Jehovah Shalom. God said, I'm a God of peace. He's Jehovah Shammah. I'm there. So God don't sleep. So what does it mean dealing with the Sabbath day rest? The Bible says that when God created, y'all, the heavens and the earth, he created everything. But then it gets to the part where it says that, go with me to Genesis 2. I love the word so much. See, this is why you need revelation of the word so you won't be misquoting what the word of God is saying. See, we don't take the time to get revelation. We just take the time to run our mouth. So Genesis 2 says, 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So God had finished creation, right? Y'all know he completely finished. Seven means completion. That's why it said on the seventh day, God rested, because it was complete. It was nothing else that needed to be done. I want y'all to catch this. This is where it comes from. God ain't doing nothing else. He done everything. He gave us everything we need, but check this out. Now, we're talking about entering the rest of God, right? I got some news for y'all. Come here, Mika. I want to show you something. Remember now, the seventh day, what did God do? He rested, right? Okay, he rested on that seventh day. Why did he rest on that seventh day? It was complete. He done what he needed to do for the heavens and the earth, right? So God rested. But guess what he did, y'all? When God created, way more than what was needed. That's why it was complete. He didn't have to go back, Evangelist Newton, and do nothing else. That means that God said, it's done, it is finished. I don't have to go over creation. I made everything available for you. Y'all catch it? After he finished his work, the Bible says that he blew breath, did he not? Into man. He formed man from the dust of the ground, right? He blew breath into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Here it goes. God rested on the seventh day, but he blew breath into that man. He became a living soul. So now God is saying, guess what? I want you, Adam, which Eve was already in Adam. So man, Adam represent man and male and female. He said, I want you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to enter. Go ahead. You act like you scared. Come back here. Mika said, I don't know what I'm going into. Check it out. Remember, I said God rested because he completed everything, right? Everything was already done. Now he made man. Why did he make man? To enter, go, into what he's already done. That means man don't have to do nothing but enjoy it. Y'all don't get it? Enter into what I already done. That's why he said, I have given you all the trees. I have given you all of this. Oh, my goodness, y'all don't get it. And here we are still trying to work for something. He said, I want you to enter in to what I have already done. That means that man didn't have to do nothing but enter in. Who don't want to accept God when God already made everything available for you? See, the enemy wants you to think that you have to do something to get God to do something. God said, I have already done it. So when you look at the Sabbath day, that means that's a day of rest that you should be giving me glory for what I already done. But you know what we do? We fuss over the Sabbath. I'm going to give you something else. Remember in Exodus 16, they were hungry, y'all. They had manna from heaven. Y'all, we got some manna up in here. God has given us a book full of manna from heaven. Everything that we need, but we act like it ain't enough. We act like this ain't doing nothing for me. Oh, something is wrong. We act like that this Bible, this word of God don't work. The word of God will quicken you. It will give you life. This is what feeds you. This is what keeps you to enter into the rest of God, knowing what you already have. So in Exodus 16, here we go again. We're still talking about the rest of God. They wanted meat. They ain't want no more manna. They wanted some meat. Y'all know God supplied that meat, but he said, don't take no more than what you need. He said, because on the sixth day, I'm going to give you more so you can rest on the seventh day. Because guess what some of them did? Let's talk about what some of them did. Look at your neighbor, say, you some of them. Yeah. Say, you some of them. Say, this is what it means when you don't trust God, because you're still trying to get what you already got. Look at what they did. It says in Exodus 16, it says in verse 25, 27, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Why did they find none? Because God said there wasn't going to be none. Because I gave you enough on the sixth day for you not to work on the seventh day, because the seventh day represents completion, representing it's already done, so that should be a day of worship for me. See, we should always set aside a day of worship for the Lord. We shouldn't always be, gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. So God is saying the Sabbath day was a day of rest because everything was complete. I'm going to give you another one. In Leviticus 25, y'all, this is when God told them that out of 7 years, he wanted them to take 1 year off. That means you work for 6 years dealing with your crops, bringing in everything, but on the seventh year, I want you to take that whole year off. Can you imagine God telling you to come off your job for a whole year? Don't gather nothing even for that whole year. Don't do nothing. Even if stuff grow up, I don't want you to bring it in your house. Why? Because that was a year of trust in him. Can you imagine? So these people had the audacity, go with me to Leviticus 25, when you get an opportunity, read it. They had the audacity to say this to God in Leviticus 25 and verse 18. Wait a minute, let's go to 19. Nope, 20. And it shall say, and they shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Now remember, God said, I don't want you to do anything for a whole year. I don't want you to gather anything. I don't want you to prune anything for a whole year. And they said, what shall we do? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. This is what he said. Check this. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. I want you to think about it. Because, see, seven represent completion. That means if I tell you to do something, I already gave you what you need to do it. Y'all think about that. God has the plan. That's entering his rest. See, when he told me to come off my job, I didn't look at my benefits, y'all. Well, I ain't going to lie. At first I did, but it wasn't none really to look at, so that wasn't really important. But praise God, we do have benefits, right? So when God told me to come off my job, that means there was money, there was things for insurance, life insurance, all of that stuff that my job offered. God said, I want you to come off that job. I'm like, wow, God, okay. And when I got to the place of trusting God, see, there has to be a place in your life where you trust God and you're willing to give up what you have. So I said, I trust you, God. So immediately when I put in that resignation, let me tell you what happens, y'all. When you totally trust God, now before in that job, Jennifer is my witness, they stuck me all over the place. Matter of fact, y'all know my story. I went from director down to a billing clerk. Then I went from billing clerk back to doing refunds, right, Jennifer? And then they had the audacity to put my desk by the bathroom, by the toilet. But guess what? Thank God for God. Because God was preparing me for where he was taking me. But I want you to understand, through those transitioning, God was preparing my heart. It didn't have nothing to do with the people. It was about me. God wanted to see if I was going to trust him going from a big salary to a little bit of nothing. And then you still got bills and you don't have what you need to meet those bills. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't sit there. And y'all should be, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I can agree with that one, amen. That's an amen. It is so. Because you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? But when God told me to do this, I was obedient. So when I turned in my resignation, y'all, I got called in the office. Now, this is so nice. Before, everybody want to think about little old me. They just set me by the toilet, do them refunds, and that's the end of it. But anyway, got called in the office, and the CFO told me, they said, I see you turning your resignation. I said, yes, I did. He said, so you're leaving us? I said, yes, I'm leaving you. He said, what are you going to do? I said, whatever the Lord has for me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work for the Lord. So he sat there, and he said, I got something for you. He said, whatever you want to do at this hospital, tell me, and I'll put you in and let you do it. Pay me to do it too, y'all. But remember now, they took from me. Now I'm being obedient to God, Jennifer. Now the enemy want to see if I'm going to trust God. See, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. See, some of y'all sitting there and you're looking at me funny, but God is telling you something today. He want to see where your heart is. See, he had to test the Israelites' heart to see if they were going to trust him. So he proved them, and he made them go for 40 years. It wasn't due to their complaining, but he wanted to see where their heart was. So he said, whatever you want to do, just tell me, and we'll put you in that position. And he said, I'll give you a week to think about it. I looked at him. I said, I don't need a week. He said, oh, you don't? I said, no. I said, because I ain't taking it. I said, I'm leaving. Why did I do this? Because I was trusting God.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. We pray that the Word of God has truly blessed your soul. We invite you to visit our website at www.mtdm.org. There you can download teachings, shop in our e-store, make donations, request prayer, and see all the ministering tools from Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries. Also, mark your calendars for the upcoming events at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, for the year 2016. April 24th, our 16th church anniversary. August the 6th, Hardcore for Jesus Youth Explosion. September the 10th, Prosperity Conference 2016. October 22nd, Monarch Fashion Show. October 23rd, our Apostle Amanda and Brother James Bryant Appreciation Service. You don't want to miss these events.